Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. The home I call is Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Mamo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Hey, not much, man. Good to have you, you know, on the show as usual, man. You know, we got, you know, busy stuff to talk, you know. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, you know, in the world of sports. You know, we're going to talk about, you know, end of a legendary career with Tim Duncan. We're also going to talk about what's going on in the state of MLB, you know, right after, you know, they had the brief All-Star break after the All-Star game, which we'll get into that, the results of that. And as you all know, the winner of the All-Star game determines who gets home field advantage in the World Series. We'll get into that momentarily. You know, we're also going to talk about the NFL as, you know, a major part of the Jets defense. Recently re-signed with the Jets. We'll get into that also. What was I going to say? And, of course, you know, we're going to end off the show with a little WWE news and rumors since for the first time ever, WWE is going to be live on SmackDown permanently starting this Tuesday. So we'll give our thoughts on that. And, of course, most importantly, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. And we'd love to hear from you. And feel free to share your thoughts on any of these topics and more. You know, before we get to the, you know, to, you know, our regular topics, you know, I want to, you know, issue, you know, offer a quick and sincere condolences for, you know, the people that were killed in the recent attacks in France. I believe 79 people died because a terrorist was in a car and he made it explode or something like that. So, I mean, unfortunately, these stories are far too common nowadays. But, again, I want to offer my condolences to all the victims and the victims' family who died on Bastille Day a few days ago. So, you know, again, my condolences to, you know, the victims' family.
Yeah, my condolences. Yeah, it's tragic. Vive la France. You know, these things keep happening. You know,
yeah,
don't know how to stop them. You know, it's only going to get worse, you know, by this ISIS. Is ISIS responsible? Did they claim responsibility for this attack?
From what I've heard, I don't think they did, but they did say the person was learned from them or something like that. I mean, I'd have to check. I'd have to research. But if I'm not mistaken, I think they said he learned from them or studied from them or something like that. But he wasn't directly with them or something like that. I don't think they fully claim responsibility. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think they fully claimed responsibility. And I don't know if you heard about this, but I think a Pakistani, like, celebrity, I think she was, like, the Kim Kardashian of, like, Pakistan,
mm-hmm.
and she was murdered by her brother.
What?
You know. Yeah, let me.
What?
Yeah, shoot. What happened?
What, this was recent.
Repeat what you. Yeah, she was known as the Pakistan of, she was like the Kim Kardashian of Pakistan. Her name is Quandel Balak. I don't know how to pronounce her name, so I apologize. You know. If I, you know, messed her name up. But, yeah, apparently, you know, she was strangled to death by her brother, you know, because I, unfortunately, apparently, you know, he felt she wasn't conservative enough. She wasn't a devout Muslim enough. So he killed her.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not really familiar with the story, but that's from what I've, you know, heard. So,
that's,
you know, my condolences, you know, it's a tragic story, man. And my sincere condolences, tragic, man. All these crazy stories about people killing people. And now, you know, this woman had to lose her life from her brother. I mean, a lot of crazy stories going on nowadays, man. It's
wow.
It's really sad. But yeah, unfortunately, with all these crazy stories, you know, I can't just do a regular sports show and just act like nothing happened. But let's shift gears, you know. What I wanted to start lead off the show with, and of course, the end of an era. Tim Duncan, man, he's finally hanging it up, and he didn't go to the typical world tour that, you know, Derek Jeter had a few years ago and Mariano had a few years ago and David Ortiz, your old nemesis, is having currently right now. Tim Duncan, and you could even say Kobe this year also. Tim Duncan, he rode off into the sunset. You know, he didn't tell nobody this is the end, and he just mentioned it a few days ago that, you know, he retires. So that's the end of an era. The legendary career is over. Tim Duncan has always been, you know, a player who, you know, he seems like he's robotic because he is like, this guy has like ice waters in his veins. You know, he never lets anything faze him, you know, no matter what the situation is. And it's like, we've been watching him forever, you know. Can you remember the last time you've seen him miss a shot? I mean, it's like every time he shoots the ball, I mean, this dude's like 6'11". It looks like he never fails. He never misses a shot, man. It's like, this guy's like automatic, man.
Yeah, I mean, he had that beautiful hook shot and bank shot. You know, he used the glass a lot to make some of his shots. And, you know, the guy was, they called him the big fundamental because he was fundamentally sound. You know, he could post up. Rebound, block shots, play good defense, pass the ball. You know, he's one of the greatest power forwards we've ever seen, and he was never a trash talker. You know, you never saw him talk trash, but he could just intimidate you by his play, and he led by example. You know, so it's kind of sad to see a player like that go, but, you know, he himself said that he didn't feel it anymore. You know, he didn't feel like a this past season, you know, he knew it was time to hang up because he lost his passion for the game. So, you know, it's time to hang up and do something else with his life, I guess, you know, just focus on his family. But the NBA will miss one of the great players that we've seen in the last 20, 25 years.
Yeah, man, and he was most notably, I mean, you know, obviously he's, you know, best known for winning the 5 titles, you know, all with the Spurs. But he when he started his career, you know, in 97, he formed the legendary Twin Towers with another legendary, the NBA and San Antonio Spurs legend, David Robinson, the Admiral. And those two were a formidable duo. You know, me and you as Knicks fans, we know firsthand in 99, man. Those guys were so dominant, man. You couldn't stop those guys. And as a result,
Duncan was a beast.
You know, man. He passed the Duncan. You know, they dominated, and then afterwards, you know, Robertson, you know, David Robinson. You know, he passed the torch to him. You know, and then it became his team.
The 5 championships. I mean, that alone tells you how great Duncan was. You know, he anchored that team. He was the leader of that team. You know, and
He was on every great era of the Spurs. You know, the David Robinson era with Mario Elie, and then you got you know, the whatchamacallit. Manu Ginobili,
Tony Parker,
you know, current era right now. So,
Leonard,
of course.
I forget how to pronounce his name.
Tiago Splitter?
No. The best player on the Spurs right now. I forget how to pronounce his name. How do you pronounce the dude's name again? He has braids. He's the best player on the Spurs right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember his name too. Keanu Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard. There you go. Yeah, Kawhi Leonard.
You just said that already.
Yeah, and I was trying to pronounce it correctly.
Yeah.
I just said Leonard, but I was trying to pronounce the full name. But it's Kawhi Leonard.
Right. Yeah, man. He's Duncan, man. He's right up there with, you know, Robinson and the Iceman, George Gervin. I mean, what a career, man. And, to be honest with you, I think Durant coming to, you know, leaving Oklahoma, you know, Thunder to come to Warriors. I don't know. Maybe that also played a factor, you know, because Spurs is the only team that, you know, that could give them fits, you know, the Warriors, you know, in a Western Conference final. But maybe he felt like, he lost the passion for the game. So maybe he felt like he needed to go through that rigorous task of trying to fight the Warriors, you know, and they're getting up there. Father time is the only thing you can't beat. I mean, the Spurs practically beat every team they face in the finals, you know, during his era, you know. Maybe there was one team he couldn't beat, and that's Father Time. You know, he had to. You know, the guy's a legend, man.
Yeah, yeah, he's one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, he even has the record of being the oldest player to record a 20-20 game. You know, that's 20 rebounds, 20 points, 20 rebounds. You know, he had a. 3 years ago, he had a game where he scored 23 points and 21 rebounds, you know, against the Hawks. You know, this guy has so many, you know, memorable moments, you know, and most notably the five championships, and, you know, he has so many highlights, you know, setting a record for the most blocks in playoffs history, you know, surpassing the great, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, this guy's a legend. You know, he'll never be forgotten.
Yeah, and he was a player that never, you know, wanted to be in the limelight. You know, he was never one of those players that wanted to, you know, like, be on TV a lot or be in a lot of commercials, you know. He was like LeBron or Kobe. You never saw him in the spotlight that much. You know, he always took the
– Oh, yeah.
He always took the back row, you know.
Mhm. He was only no one could ever question him that he wasn't only about winning, and that's all he was about. Winning.
Yeah, and that's all he did.
He'll definitely be missing the game for sure. But you know, moving along. Let's. Let's shift. I guess we could talk about this quickly. What's his name? I forgot what I was gonna say. Like Calderon, he admitted that he understood. You know, now he's with after he got traded to the Bulls, now he's with the Lakers. So you know he admits that. You know, that he shouldn't be a starter anymore. You know, he basically admitted that he doesn't have it anymore. And that he understand why Melo wanted the team to move in another direction and get a new point guard, which ultimately, became, the Knicks, you know, acquiring Derrick Rose, you know, in a blockbuster trade. So, you know, he obviously has no hard feelings with Melo or the Knicks moving in the opposite, in a different direction, which obviously made sense. So, you know, hopefully, you know, Derrick Rose and all the guys that the Knicks got, in this offseason, which, I mean, you got to give the Knicks a lot of credit. They got a lot of talent. They got Brandon Jennings, Joakim Noah. Courtney Lee, and you know, a lot of other guys, you know, to come to the team. So, you know, it should be a really good season for the Knicks. You know, if they play the way they're supposed to. I know we said that last year, and you know, it didn't come to fruition. But this time they have some legit all-star guys on the team, and if they could share the ball, play tough defense, you know, obviously you don't have to worry about that with Noah, obviously, and Lee. But you know, if they just, you know, stick to, you know, playing team basketball, they could surprise some people, you know, and you know, hopefully challenge the Cavs, you know, in the Eastern Conference Final. But they would need a miracle for that to happen. You know, everything would have to break right for that to happen. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, you just got to be optimistic. You know, it's hopefully, you know, they can make it far this year and make the playoffs. I mean, in the Eastern Conference is not that great. You know, you don't have that many teams. Well, actually, the Eastern Conference looks more competitive than the West right now, because the West, they only have like three or four teams that are like, you know, that are superpowers. Everyone else is just, you know, is just looking at those other teams. But in the Eastern Conference, you have a lot of parity, so the Knicks have a great shot at maybe making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. You never know.
Yeah. You know, challenge, you know, the Bulls, or, you know, or obviously, you know, Toronto, and obviously the Cavs.
Boston.
The cream of the crop. Boston, right, they improved. They made the playoffs and such. Yeah, like you said, there's a lot of parity in the Eastern Conference. So, yeah, I mean, that's why Durant didn't go to the East. You know, he took the easy way out and went to the West and went to the Warriors. I mean, he stayed in the West, left the Thunder, and left his longtime teammate, Russell Westbrook, and joined the Warriors.
And you know what? There's rumors that Westbrook might be traded.
Yeah, I think the rumor is that, you know, in off season he's probably going to go to the Lakers or Clippers, which, I mean, it wouldn't be surprising, you know. If he does,
I'm hearing now that Westbrook is not happy with the Thunder, and Thunder might actually try to trade him before he's a free agent. That way, if he does leave next year, you know, they at least get something now if they trade him.
Yeah. I think they will do that, because, you know, Kevin Durant just walked away from them and they got nothing back. You know,
exactly.
They basically lost the best player in Thunder history. You know, they let him walk away because, I mean, they tried to get him back, but, you know, obviously he wanted to get the easy championship. So, you know, there's nothing they could have done, really. You know, he wanted to go to Thunder. So, I mean, he wanted to leave Thunder to go to the Warriors. So, what can you do? So now it looks like they're going to be in the rebuilding mode, because Westbrook is not going to stay. You know, he doesn't want to stay now. So, and they just recently got Oladipo, if I'm not mistaken, in the trade. But, you know, it looks like they're going to be in rebuilding mode now.
Yeah.
And shifting gears in sports, there's a one team that looks like they might be in rebuilding right now. I know you don't want to hear this. You've never seen this happen before in your lifetime, and that might be the New York Yankees. Because New York Yankees, you know, they're hovering around 500. They just lost by the final score of 5-2. You know, the Yankees, you know, that they're rumored to be trading all their valued, you know, guys, like Andrew Miller, who I wouldn't trade personally. You got Chapman, who was the blockbuster acquisition via the trade with Red Sox, you know, after the, you know, the controversial domestic dispute he had, you know, when he was a member of the Reds. You also have Betances, who's another guy who I would keep hold on to too if I was a Yankee, if I was Brian Cashman and Yankee front office. Carlos Beltran, which, I mean, this might be the second time he get traded from a New York team, you know, for prospects. So if I was a betting man, I would assume that they're going to trade Chapman and they're going to trade Beltran, you know, in the coming years. So what's your thoughts, you know, with the state of the New York Yankees right now?
Well, you know, Yankees right now, they lost yesterday to Red Sox. They lost Friday night 5-2. Lost again almost by the same score, 5-2 today again. Right now they're like 2 or 3 games under 500. Right now they are sellers rather than buyers. Well, what is it, buyers or sellers? You know, what are they, sellers, I guess, if they're trying to trade people?
They're usually buyers, but right now they might be sellers right now. But time will tell.
I mean, it would make sense because, you know, right now they're 3 games under 500. They have some pieces that other teams may want. You know, you have Beltran, like you said, who's been having one of his best seasons in years. Chapman, who a lot of teams out there want a closer like that. And you got some other pieces, maybe Miller. I don't want to see him go. But if we could get some prospects, then I'd be okay with it. But chances, I wouldn't want to trade him. I think he's the one guy in that bullpen that I would say is untouchable. And, you know, there's some other pieces that Yankees could trade also. But, yeah, I mean, if they're going to trade people for prospects, it's now because this team isn't getting any younger. You know, and right now, technically, they're not out of the playoff race. But, you know, it doesn't look like they're going to win the American League East. So, this probably would be the best time to trade some pieces to try to get some younger players, you know, and see what happens. But, you know, Yankees are trying to rebuild, you know, and I know Yankee fans don't want to see it or admit it to themselves, but Yankees are not very good right now, unfortunately. So, and in order to be good, you have to rebuild. So that's what the Yankees got to do. They got to do what they got to do to win eventually.
I agree with you. They got to take a step back so they can move forward. You know, I know this is, you know, new territory. I mean, this probably has never happened since Steinbrenner got suspended, early 90s, which enabled the Yankees to develop Jeter and Posada and what was I going to say? You know, the core four, Mariano, Pettit, Bernie, they kept all those guys, you know, as a result. And they were able to win, 4 championships and 5 with Jeter and Mariano collectively and Pettit. You know, those guys won 5 championships, but the core four, you know, most of them, you know, Bernie, you know, only won, 4. He was in on the 99, the 2019. But, it's time for the Yankees to do it again, to rebuild. I know some Yankee fans don't want to hear that, but I think it's time for them to rebuild. And in a few years, they come back and, they'll be with some smart moves. They'll be a championship caliber team again.
Yeah,
the good old days.
Yeah, you got to build, get some young guys, and also get. They could still sign some all star guys like maybe Trout or Harper when they're available, you know, down the road. But right now, let's try to get some young players on this team.
Right. And shifting gears with the Mets, the Mets, they won Friday night. I think the final score was what, 5-4? I think it was 5-2 or 5-4. I can't remember. You know, you know, Cologne got a win. I think he's what, 8-3. I can't remember off the top of my head, but you know, Cologne's been great. Obviously, him and Familia didn't pitch in the All Star game. No Met pitched in the All Star game. You know, surprisingly, Terry Collins played everybody in the National League except for his own players. Cespedes didn't play because of injuries. Syndergaard didn't pitch because of you know, injuries too. But Familia, the only reason why he didn't pitch is because you know, there was no safe situation for him in the National League because they fell by the final score of 4-2. Yet again, the American League beats the National League All Stars, and the American League have the World Series again, you know, yet again. And one thing that annoyed me prior to the All-Star game was that Jose Fernandez of the Marlins was saying that, oh, you know, he's going to throw 3 fastballs to David Ortiz since it's his final All-Star game, because he wanted to give up a home run to him, you know. But here's my thinking. Isn't the All-Star game supposed to count? I mean,
yeah.
why are you going to – I understand you want to have an awesome moment of seeing, you know, David Ortiz go out in style hitting a home run. He ended up getting walked instead. But come on. To me, the All-Star game mattered more when it didn't count.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make – MLB is trying to add this stipulation to make people who don't care about the All-Star game. As you remember, I think it was 2002 when they made it end in a tie. I mean, come on. They're ruining the game, man. Stop. They should just make it be – it's an exhibition game. I should not be biting my nails, you know, hoping that the National League will win the game, which most of the times they don't lately. But, you know, this should not decide the World Series winner. It's a joke. This is just a play to get ratings. I don't know how you feel about this, because the American League always wins all the time. So what's your thoughts on it? Do you agree with me or do you disagree?
Well, I have no problem with it, you know. You know, it's to help the ratings because, I mean, people weren't watching the All-Star game 15 years ago anyway. You know, the ratings were down. They were going down every year. So this was a ploy to get ratings up. And, you know, ratings have been modest. You know, they haven't been bad. But, you know, it is an exhibition game. I agree with you. And it should treat it like that. But this stipulation just does add a little more it does make it the game a little more competitive now. But, yeah, I mean, if this is going to be on the line, if it's going to mean something, these players have to treat it like that. The players can't have pitchers intentionally trying to have hitters hit a home run. You know, we got to be treating this game seriously, you know. I mean, you can still have your fun and games on the field, but at the end of the day, you have to, you know, try to win this game for your league. So,
exactly.
That pitcher, what pitcher, what was the name of the pitcher that said that he was going to throw fastballs?
Jose Fernandez, the ace of the Marlins.
Yeah, you can't be doing that. Like, it's on the line for World Series. Whichever team wins, that league gets to host the World Series. So you can't be freaking giving up easy runs like that. You know what I mean? It's supposed to mean something.
And the Marlins are battling out for the wild card, you know, with the Mets. You know, potentially winning somehow overtaking, you know, the Nationals. You know, they're all in they're in the running. They're both in the running.
It's that Marlins mentality for years, you know, giving up easy pitches so other hitters could hit it.
But yeah,
that Marlins losing mentality.
Oh man.
Except for 2003.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and 97. Well, yeah, what was I gonna say? I forgot what I was gonna say. Yeah, let's shift gears to the oh wait, before I go talk about WWE, congratulations to the Jets and Mo Wilkerson, you know, agreeing on a you know, a 5-year, you know, 5-year deal, you know, with Muhammad Wilkerson. So they finally locked them up, and I think it's a 5-year $8 million, I think it was. Let me check just to make sure. So I could give you guys.
While you're looking at that,
thing.
Also congrats to Von Miller of the Broncos for re-signing and being the highest-paid non-quarterback in the game right now.
Yeah, that congratulations to him too. You know, he was the MVP of the you know, Super Bowl, this past Super Bowl. So, you know, congrats to him. He definitely you know, was a key part of them winning the Super Bowl, because you know, Peyton Manning, he didn't have it in the Super Bowl, but you know, he was a, you know, a wise and, you know, talented, you know, veteran quarterback. He didn't make any boneheaded plays that would have cost them the series. So back to Mo Wilkerson, it's a 5 years worth $86 million. It's $53.5 million in guarantees over the next 3 years, and you know, $15 million signing bonus. So, you know, congratulations to him. Hopefully, they can reach a deal with Ryan Fitzpatrick and, you know, get this show on the road, because they need Fitzpatrick to return, because they can't trust Geno Smith with the you know, running the team right now, you know, as the quarterback right now. So hopefully they can reach some common ground, the Jets and Fitzpatrick, and they could re-sign him as soon as possible. But what was I going to say? Shifting gears to WWE, you know, the draft. You pumped up about it?
Oh yeah, I can't wait. It's this Monday, right?
No, this Tuesday.
It's gonna
Tuesday,
be on
the first ever live SmackDown. You know,
right.
Permanently. I mean, they've had some live SmackDowns from here and there once in a while, but this is official. The fans have wanted this for years, and now it's finally happening. SmackDown's going to be live for good now. And
yeah.
With that, the draft is going to happen, and Shane McMahon is going to be the GM, the commissioner of SmackDown, and reportedly Daniel Bryan might be the commissioner. I mean, might be the GM. And of course, Stephanie is the GM, rather the commissioner of Raw, and she has to pick a GM, which I would assume would be Triple H, but all will be revealed this week, probably as early as Monday Night Raw. So so we'll find out, I believe, on Monday Night Raw who's going to be the GMs for both these new commissioners. So, you know, I'm excited to see what's going on Raw. And, of course, Dean Ambrose is going to have an impromptu title match against Seth Rollins for the title, which scares me. I mean, why are they making a title match so quickly, you know, before this, you know, the match that's coming up on the big match, Triple Threat Shield match for the WWE Championship, you know, on on Sunday, later tonight, but next Sunday. So I don't know, are they gonna make him a transitional champion or what? I mean, it's I guess we'll find out soon enough, man. Apparently, Vince McMahon is still upset about the suspension. That's why you're seeing Seth Rollins going in on those interviews, which he had a fun interview with, you know, Roman Reigns when they, you know, they edited out some, you know, past interviews that Roman Reigns had and made him look guilty, like he had no remorse about what he did. I don't know if you saw it. What did you think about it?
Yeah, I saw it. I mean, I don't know whether to believe that this is part of the storyline or if this is, you know, if they're really mad at him for testing positive. I don't know what to believe right now. But have you heard about Brock Lesnar? Brock Lesnar just tested positive for some type of PED by the U.S. What was it the USADA? And now there's some there's some rumors he might be suspended for SummerSlam.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I don't think WWE is going to do that. Maybe they're going to wait until after SummerSlam and then suspend them. And then he'll come back in time for Survivor Series. I don't think they're going to suspend him from fighting in SummerSlam because they already promoted it and everything. And they don't want to, most importantly, they don't want to lose money. I think after SummerSlam is when they're going to suspend him, and then he'll be back in time for Survivor Series or Royal Rumble or WrestleMania, whenever they plan to have him back. Because look at Roman Reigns. They made the deal with Roman Reigns. They could have easily kicked him out of the match because of this, but it's still going to be a triple threat. So I think they're going to wait until the SummerSlam and then suspend him. They probably were going to leak it out maybe the day or two after SummerSlam, but I think it got leaked out, so they had to talk about it. But should be interesting who what's going to go down in the Raw. Hopefully it's worth the wait. But let me see. You got any final thoughts?
Check out my show, IMAC, Saturdays at 11. Come back here, check out Sports and Religion, Sundays at midnight.
You heard the man. Check out both shows. My show every Sundays at midnight, Sports of Religion with me, William Ramo. Check out his show, IMAC, with him, Macaulay Matthew, every Saturdays at 11. So check out both shows. I want to thank you guys for listening to another episode of Sports of Religion. I'll see you guys next week. I'm William Ramo. He's Macaulay Matthew. Have a great weekend. Peace.